On Midwest Week, a progress report for the Iowa Legislature, 1 month into its new session. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Aaron Murphy, Lee Enterprises Bureau Chief in Des Moines, whose work appears here in the Quad City Times and the Muscatine Journal. From out here, Aaron, the session seems kind of quiet so far, quieter than last year. Is that true? And how does it compare to previous years so far?
I think it's definitely fair to say that it's quieter last year, although, as I say that, last year was kind of an anomaly, so any comparison to last year has to come with that kind of asterisk. With the Republicans in power for the first time in two decades, they went through a number of bills that they felt very strongly about, but the other half of the political field did not felt this just as strongly opposed to. So it was a very raucous session last year, as you alluded to, much quieter this year, but maybe just more back to normal, I'd say, than as far as versus comparing it to last year.
Okay. Now, one of the first things the Iowa legislature has done so far is work on the budget. Where are the House and Senate on that right now?
Yeah, well, the first thing they have to do is actually fix the budget that we're currently in. So the state budget year runs from July 1 through the end of June. And usually one of what they try to do when they come into session is work on the next budget year that starts later that year, that July 1st. What they're having to do this year for a second straight time is fix the budget that we're still in the middle of because revenues came in short of expectations. So the state is not going to have as much money as it planned for. It's not going to have enough money to pay for everything it planned to when they set the budget last year. So they're having to make spending reductions, spending cuts to various agencies and departments for the budget year that we're still in the middle of that ends at the end of June.
Okay.
So that's what they're working on right now.
And Aaron, why, it sounds like there's some big cuts in the works for the three state universities. Do they seem like a particular target and why?
They are, and for a second straight year, in line for a pretty decent reduction. And that's just part of it is just from sheer numbers. The Regents are one of the more, I don't know if expensive is the right word, but it's one of the bigger areas of the state budget. And the governor and state legislators here have kind of declared two things off limits for these budget cuts. They said, we're not going to do any reduction to K-12 school funding, and we're not going to do any reductions in Medicaid. And those two together, again, I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but combine those two, that's a huge portion of the state budget. So once you take those off the table, you've got a very small slice of the pie left, and the Regents are probably one of, if not the biggest pieces of that, what's left. So they are the they become the target for finding some way to slow down spending. And so for a second straight year, you're right, the Regents universities are going to take another big budget hit.
And along with big spending cuts for the current year through June, won't they have to start making cuts for next year as well?
The budget projection for next year as of right now does include growth. So they shouldn't have to make any reductions in departments unless they decide to grow one area of the budget so much that they have to find savings or reductions in other places. And one of those possibilities could be tax reform, which Republicans would like to get done. If they do something that's going to take out a chunk of revenue, they may have to find budget cuts in other departments. But as of right now, as it stands, as everything stands pat, there is revenue growth, and there is revenue growth projected for next year. They shouldn't have to make any reductions, like I said, unless they do something that takes money out of that budget.
Okay, so at a time of, well, this year declining revenue and uncertain revenue next year, why are they considering tax cuts?
Yeah, and that's the tough thing that they're going to have to manage to kind of walk that fine line. As I said earlier, Republicans are in full control of the Capitol for the first time in two decades. It's their first chance to do a tax reduction, which is something they always campaign on. They always say to their voters, if you put us in office, we'll lower your taxes. So they've been saying that for years, and now they want to deliver on that. Like I said, the trick is they have to do that and also find a way to balance the budget at the same time. So anything they do on tax reform that means less money coming into the state, that less money they're going to have to find in other areas of the budget to reduce or cut. And so that's the balancing act that faces them as they work on that discussion.
Now, one of the first bills that was approved by the House and Senate this year was a water quality bill, and Governor Reynolds signed it this week. What is that bill supposed to do?
So that one, it creates some new and dedicated funding for water quality programs, which has been missing in recent years in attempts to get something done here. So it basically does two things. There's an existing tax on water services that they're going to take some revenue from that, and then they're also going to take some of the state gambling, the casino revenue, put those into some pots and dedicate those revenues for water quality programs, various conservation and cleanup programs that are designed to get some of the pollutants out of Iowa's waterways. The estimated revenue that they're going to come up with is about $270 million over the next 11 years. So that's a big number. $270 million is a lot of money. It's going to help a lot of programs. But the flip side of that is the overall strategy that Iowa State University developed to attack this problem says that it's going to require $4 billion worth of investment. So while $270 million is a significant number, it is an overall drop in the bucket compared to what ISU said is needed to fix this.
And isn't one of the key features of this, Bill, Aaron, that a lot of these measures are voluntary?
That's always the ongoing debate, the voluntary versus mandatory, and people are of different minds about that. Some people say that these practices should be required by the state, that farmers must do, you know, the X conservation practices to help clean up. Others say that's too hard to enforce. It's just way too big a thing to take on, and farmers shouldn't be mandated for how they take care of their own land, but we should incentivize these things and set up grants and programs to kind of as a carrot at the end of the stick to encourage farmers to do this voluntarily.
Okay. Now, usually education and the state budget come first in Des Moines. So why the quick passage of this water quality bill this year, Aaron?
Well, and they are going to get to that soon. We're told we're going to have a debate on school funding next week. The water quality debate, I think, came first for one simple reason. The Governor Reynolds, made it a priority in her condition of the state address. In fact, she laid out specifically, this is her first session as governor. She had not yet signed a bill into law, and she said during her condition of the state address, I want water quality funding to be the first bill that I sign as governor. They got to work on that behind the scenes, and lo and behold, that was the first bill that popped it sent down to the governor's desk, and she signed it earlier this week. So I think it's just a case of the governor made it a priority, and that became the first bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, elections are coming up this year in Iowa and across the country, and have you seen much impact on the legislative session so far?
Not a whole lot. The only and for one really specific reason. So I have seen some impact, but in a very narrow focus, and it's from the Senate, where State Senator Nate Bolton is running for governor. And he has, you know, he's made some speeches and made some proposals that one could certainly surmise is with an eye towards the campaign, the gubernatorial campaign. So that has had an effect in that way. But he is the only candidate in the building. He's the only state legislator running for office other than the governor herself, obviously. So I think the impact of the campaign thus far has been pretty minimal. We haven't seen it yet anyways. We'll see how that goes as the session goes along. But as of this point, it hasn't had a huge impact on the session, I wouldn't say.